2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12. And I'm going to talk to you about then. When then comes. I want you to, you're just going to have to follow along with me tonight. When then comes. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, when these things begin to happen. Verse 14 is the familiar verse. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, say this with me, then. Okay? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes, God says, will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. I want to talk to you about when then comes. Then. If my people do these things, then. When times get hard, when times get rough, when pestilence seems to be around you, when trials seem to be coming upon you, when the heavens seem shut up, if my people will, then I will. There's something to this that we need to grab hold of tonight, and we're going to look at a process and a direction that I believe that the Lord wants us to go. So we're going to talk about this process of when then comes. How many want to live in the then that this scripture talks about? In order to live in the then, you have to get through the when, and you have to do the if, so you can live in the then. Amen. Yes, it is. You got to get through the when the heavens seem shut up, when things don't seem to be going my way, when things are looking bleak. There is some action that you have to take, and that's the if. So when these things happen, now things like this are going to happen. It's a part of this world, part of the life we are living. Not always going to be roses and peaches and cream. Not always everything going to go your way. So when there seems to be trouble or difficulty or struggle, we could get into the theological discussion about the Lord speaking and saying to him, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or when I command the locusts to devour, and we could get into the theology of that. But rather, I want to just focus on the statement, when these things happen that don't seem to be going in your favor or in your direction, there are some things that must take place. And if you will, then God will. Amen. So we're going to just look at that a little bit, and we're going to focus on that word then, and we're going to talk about for the next little bit when then comes. The goal of this scripture here, the goal that Solomon would have taken on, and the goal that we need to see tonight, is to get to then. Okay? That's the goal. If God's speaking to you the way he did to Solomon in this setting, and you hear the Lord say, when I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, when I command the locusts and they devour, then if my people will call upon, then I will hear from heaven. The goal is not looking for when these things are going to happen. The goal is not the if that we must be involved in when they happen. The goal is getting to the then when God moves. See, this is where we struggle. We live through the whens, and the ifs come up in how we respond. But the goal is not when things are not in our favor. And the goal is not if we do certain things. The goal is then God will answer. Then God will show up. Then God will do His part. So the question in my mind sticks out in this scripture. How do we get to then? When then comes, how do we get to then? Okay, now we're going to walk through this and we're going to see where the Lord takes us. Here's the statement I'm going to give you right up front, and then we'll get there eventually. When then comes, now occurs, and forever results. Just keep that statement in your mind. We're going to get there. When then comes, now occurs with God, the now of God, and the results are forever. Okay, so we're just going to walk down this road together. The first thing we need to look at tonight about this concept of then is the word if. How do we get to then? How do we get to God answering and showing up? And it really is encapsulated in the if. So, when then comes. So how do we get to then? How do we get to the place when God says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land? We get the then through the if. Okay. If there are some things you must involve yourself in to live in the moments of then when God shows up. Like I said, you're going to have to follow me tonight and think with me. We're going to be a little bit deeper tonight than maybe some other times. But if you'll follow this, I think the Lord will show us something great. We must understand the ifs. We don't work for anything. But God's appearance in our situation is determined by the response to the ifs in our life. So the goal is to get here. The path to get there, then God shows up and hears from heaven, begins with the if. What does that mean? Let's look at verse 14. If, first of all, if my people who are called by my name, first thing that you got to navigate through, the ifs that you have to navigate through, the first thing is, if my people who are called by my name, you must realize and recognize what you are called by God. And you must wrestle with the concept of what do you believe you are called by God. Now listen, if my people who are called by my name, they're God's people. Now, when we read through this, just real easy reading through this, we will get the mindset of, well, they're called to do something. See, it's a call to do, but it's not a call to do, it's a call of recognition. The first if that you need to navigate is the if of recognition. What do you recognize yourself as being called as? What does God say about you? The if of recognition is the if of faith. Now, Help me, Lord, to get into this. You got to realize you're called. You're His. If you're going to get through the winds of life, you're going to have to navigate the is of who you are to get to the then when God shows up. And the first thing you're going to navigate through is, what does God say about you? How many know if you will know what God says about you, what God has called you, then when difficult times come, you can stand in faith. If you can know what God has said about you, when struggle times come, when difficulty comes, when things don't look like they're going your way, if you can know you are called by His name, if you can know what God says about you, you are on your path to the then that God will show up. But it begins with faith. If my people, and then God says, who are called by my name? That just jumped off the page to me as I was studying this. If my people, God says, who are called by my name. If that group of people who are called by my name. See, you got to get there first. If you don't get there, if you never accept what God says about you, you'll never live in the then moments that God has prepared for you. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. Then will I do these things if my people who are called by my name. So the first if that we need to navigate is the if of faith. You got to begin to understand what God says. You got to quit worrying about what others say about you. You got to quit living in what the world says about you. You got to quit living in what your past says about you. You must start living by faith in what God has said about you. And here's what God has said about you. And now we live on this side of the cross and this side of Jesus. You know what God says about us? God says, if anyone now is in Christ, they're new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, that doesn't mean He just patches us up. The wording there literally means they are a new creation. They become some brand new thing in Christ. This is what God says about you. If you are in Christ, then you are called by His name. Amen. See, we answer to everything that others call us. But faith answers to what God calls us. If I'm walking down the road and I hear someone call out Greg, because, I mean, you know, my name is Greg before it was Pastor. Now, I've pastored long enough that now if I'm walking down the road and somebody says, Pastor, I'm turning around and looking. But if I hear Greg, that's going to catch my attention. Because we answer to what identifies us. We answer to how we identify ourselves. Faith answers to what God calls us. If you can hear that, you're on your way to living in the then when God shows up. If you can understand that even when things aren't going like you want them to, God has still called you His. Notice this. Russell, will you go back to the previous verse 13 with me? Notice this. Don't miss this. This is too important for you to miss. Verse 13. He's navigating. It's all right. I caught him asleep back there. It's all right. So it. I'm gonna read it. He'll catch up. When I shut up the heavens, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. How many know those are difficult circumstances? But when that happens, God did not cease calling them His. Come on. No, you some of you missed that. When those things happen, you see that, verse 13? That's negative. When difficulties come, when bad things happen, and here's the thing. What God is saying to them in this prophetic foreordained moment is when discipline's going to have to come, when punishment is going to come because of failure and because of lack of faith and because they're going to mess up and they're going to have to go through some difficult times. But even when those things happen, God still calls them His. Amen. This is why faith can be so strong in us. Because even when everything around us is negative, go to that next verse, Russell. Verse 14, even when everything is negative around us, if my people who are called by my name. Amen. How many of you are glad? See, we go through negative times and we allow negative times to define us. God doesn't. God says, don't let your negative things define you. You are defined by whose you are and by what I call you. Do you know what God says about us? God says we are His in Christ. Do you know God says that in Christ we're more than conquerors through Christ? Do you know that God says that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world if we are in Christ? God says that we can do all things. All things are possible if we can believe. God says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God says, who or what shall separate us from His love? See, this is what God says. So even when the times are negative, we need to know what God has said about us. That's faith. That's agreeing with what God has said. Let me give you some instances of this. Gideon was called by God a mighty warrior, a great man of valor, while he's hiding, threshing wheat in a wine press. How many know you don't thresh wheat in a wine press? You crush grapes in a wine press. He's down in this wine press, and he's threshing. Wheat has to be threshed in a place to where when they throw it up, the air can knock away the chaff, and you can keep the wheat. He's down there hiding from his enemy when God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Yeah, and Gideon begins to give him his excuses. Oh, you can't be talking to me. I'm the weakest of my family, and my family's the weakest of Israel. There is nothing in me that says that, but God called him that. Abraham, when he and his wife could not have children, God called him the father of nations. This is important that you catch this. Peter, when in just a few moments Jesus is going to have to tell him, get behind me, Satan, who's going to deny Jesus whenever he comes to the time of the cross, who is always going to be saying things that gets himself in trouble from time to time. But Jesus says, you are no longer Simon, but now you're going to be Peter, meaning you, on this rock, this little rock, the Petrus, the little rock, I will build my church. See, it doesn't matter what your circumstances define you as. It doesn't matter what your past has defined you as. It doesn't matter what people call you. What matters is, do you see yourself, do you define yourself by all the things that are happening to you, or do you define yourself by what God has called you? Because that's the if of faith. Esther and Moses were defined by God as deliverers when it did not seem possible. See, what has God called you? Are you living in the definition of what's happening to you and around you and what others have said? Or are you living in the definition of what God has called you? And the most important thing that God could ever call you is His. You are His. That's the if of faith. See, if we're going to get to the then, when then comes, when God's going to show up and meet the needs and answer the prayers and do all the things and everything that we're asking for, we got to get through the if. Well, how do we do that? How do we get through the if? You got to know who you are in Him. Amen. Jesus, right before He was going to leave Mark 16, He talks to His disciples. And He says, I'm sending you out. It's a great commission. He said, I'm sending you out. But He would say to them, in My name, you'll do these things. In My name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In My name, you'll cast out devils. In My name, you'll do these things. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. If you take up serpents in the case where you need to, it will not harm you. And so in My name, so He's defining them before the rough times hit so they know who they are. So their circumstances can't define them. Amen. I if I wasn't teaching on Wednesday night, I'd preach that a little while. If you got to know who you are, you got to know who you are now so the circumstances of tomorrow won't define you. You got to know who you are now in Christ so the bondage of yesterday won't define you. Amen. Know who you are. That's the first if. See, the then is the goal. So you got to navigate the if. And the first if is the if of faith, of recognition. You got to realize you are called His. What do you believe you are called? What do you believe you are called? I don't know why. I don't see it in myself. But I believe what God has said about me. Now, I know that outside of Him, I can't do anything. I have no power. I have no ability. I have no influence. I am incapable of doing the things that He has for me to do. But I know who He's called me. See, and therefore I can have faith. So you got to navigate. The first if is that if of faith. And here's the thing about God. And you need to understand this. God will call you something before you ever live in it. Amen. God called David king. Well, he's a shepherd boy out tending sheep. Amen. So God will call you some things that He sees you as before you'll ever live in them. And He's preparing you for the then moment that He's going to show up and provide it for you. But you got to have the if of faith. Second thing. Okay, you got to have the if of faith. That's number one. And I'll just leave that up there. If of faith. What has God called you? Second thing about this if is He said in verse 14, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves. If My people, parentheses, who are called by My name, will have faith to know who I've called them, will accept what I say about them, and will humble themselves. I looked at that and I thought about that, and the Lord brought this to my mind. If My people who know who I have called them, who have accepted what I have said about them, will humble their will lower their will put down their ideas, will humble themselves. That means you will make yourself lower so that He can be raised higher. If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves. Here's the word that came to me. It's the if of obedience. Yeah, lay your flesh down as a sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is your reasonable service. I offer My flesh upon this altar. It's My reasonable service. It's the if of obedience. Now, remember, the goal is to get to, then I will hear from heaven. then my eyes will be open. Then my ears will be attent to everything that's happening. I'm going to show up in your life. And we're not working our way to it. We're just navigating the ifs. It's the if of faith. It's going to take faith, but it's also going to take obedience. Otherwise, he would not have told Solomon, you got to humble yourself. How many know to humble yourself takes obedience? Okay? To humble yourself is to be obedient. So that means as you are navigating through the difficulties of life, you have to take the things you desire and subject them unto the Lord. Okay? You have to say, okay, Lord, this is not an easy time right now, but I know you've called me to be yours, so I'm yours. I'm declaring that. I'm standing by faith with you. And I've got what I want to happen right now, but I'm going to put that down in obedience, and I'm going to say, Lord, I want your will to be done. I want what you want in my life. It becomes an obedience issue. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yes, there you go. Yes, you're humbling yourself. Yes, that's a very practical way to look at it right there, yes. And you got to know who you are. Yes, we do. Yes. Yes. And the key to that is, if you know who you are, that's where this action is going to come from. Okay, the reason I choose to not act out in my flesh and cuss that person out on the road, first of all, has to be because, I'm saying this on behalf of Lance, not on behalf of myself. Yeah, and the reason for that has to be, first of all, because who God says I am. I am His. And in Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am His. I belong to Him. I am His servant. I am His. I'm joint heirs with Jesus. And so once I know that and once I see that about myself, it becomes easier for me to obey and put down my flesh and trust God with the results. Amen. To say, well, maybe my will's not the most important thing right now. Maybe what I wanted to happen has to wait for a little while. So I'm going to be obedient. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 tells us, verse 22 and 23 tells us, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better. So better than running out and getting your sacrifice and offering up your sacrifice of worship, obey. Put yourself down. Lower yourself and say, God, I know who you say I am, so I'm going to wait on that then moment, and I'm going to put my desires and the things I want to happen right now and the ways I manipulate. Because then it goes on to say in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So when we try to manipulate God, and we try to manipulate everything around us to work according to what we want to happen, and we try to put everything in place, and we try to do all that, we try to take the place of God. It's what King Saul was doing in 1 Samuel 15. He was told to wipe everyone out. He kept the ones he wanted. He put himself in the place of God. And so he was rebellious. But yet he wanted to sacrifice because he wanted his will. And Samuel says to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's true, absolutely. Because that's where we've got to live. And so if we know who we are in Him, in the Father, through Christ, we know what God says about us, then we can submit ourselves, we can humble ourselves, and we can say, okay, God, if you have called me by the name you have called me, then I can do this your way, and I can receive the results that you want me to receive. It's the ifs. It's the ifs of life. It's the if of faith. So if you will have faith to know what God has said about you and to agree with it, and if you can learn to be obedient. And obedience is not all the do's and don'ts and all that stuff we made it to be. Obedience is humbling yourself. How many know we get in trouble when we don't humble our flesh? When our will and desire becomes opposed to God's will for our lives, we get in trouble. But if we can learn to be obedient and we can humble ourselves. See, you can come in. Now let me just get real practical. You can come in, and boy, I mean, you can offer up your sacrifice of worship. You can lift your hands when the singing is going on, and you can praise God and worship God and just get full-hearted, full-throated worship, what we call worship, just getting lost in His presence. You can do that. But if you're not humbling yourself, you won't make it to the then moment of God. Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. Yes. Right. That's right. That's His. Yes, it is. Yes. It's exactly right. You became obedient unto the Lord. There's the if of faith, knowing who you are in Christ, in Him. And there's the if of obedience, which you also could say the if of repentance in that case, or the if of recognizing your weakness. So therefore, you have to come back and align. It's the if of alignment. How about that? There you go. You've got the if of faith. And then you have the if of alignment. You got to get your life in proper alignment with God. How many would readily acknowledge you're not God? Okay, yeah, you're not God. But how many of you know most of the time, hear me now, a lot of times, we live as if we are God. Because we're not in proper alignment to God. So we make decisions without ever consulting Him. We take reactions because without ever getting His will on, because we're interested in what we want. We're interested in ourselves. Our flesh has been magnified. And so if we're going to get to the then, remember then is the goal, then you got to get to the if. So the if of obedience is really about the if of alignment. And so if I need to go back and admit I was wrong, I have to admit I was wrong. If I have to go back and say, okay, maybe that wasn't God's plan for my life. I sure wanted it to be. But if I have to recognize that and say, I will bring myself into alignment. How many know John the Baptist did not want to be put in prison when he was put in prison? He wanted to keep ministering for Jesus. He wanted to keep pointing the way to the one that was to come. And he sent his servants and said, I need to know. I'm here and this is a frustrating place. And I need to know, are you really the one or do we need to look for another one? He's struggling with this alignment issue. Amen. This obedience issue. And Jesus said, you go tell him these things are happening. There's none greater than him that have walked on this earth. And then he was able to align himself in obedience to the will. And he was able to say, he was able to live what he had earlier said. He must increase, but I must decrease. Right? Absolutely. Well, let's keep going then. Here we go. Good transition. If my people who are called by my name, so the if of faith, recognition, the if of who do we believe, my name, if they're called by my name, will humble themselves, and then look what he says, and pray and seek my face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now we're getting into this if, this third if, is the if that tells us that we must communicate directly with and rely only upon the Lord. Here's the word that I felt in my spirit. It's the if of relationship. Let me move this over here. Is that right in your way now? It's the if of relationship. Because now he's saying, if, remember all this was started, if my people who are called by my name, so they've got to recognize who you are, got to know what he says about you, and then if they will humble themselves, so you got the if of obedience, you'll put yourself down and you'll be willing to let your flesh be put down so that the Lord can be magnified. And if then they will pray and seek my face. Seek my face. There's something to that. Many believers seek his hand. Many believers spend their life seeking his hand. Give me. Give me. Help me. Give me. But he says, if you'll pray and seek my face. That's relationship. That's relationship. So now, back to Amber's question. So what do we do if we're humbling ourselves, we're trying to do these things, we're putting ourselves out there when we've been wrong, we're acknowledging it, we're trying to lower ourselves and submit our will unto his, we're trying to agree in faith with what God has said about us, even in the dark times, and things keep seeming to just bury us and happen. That's when you dig in and you rely on relationship. You're calling, you're speaking to him and you're seeking his face. You're coming into an audience with him. You're shutting out the other influences because now it's all about your relationship with him. How many know there's sometimes when things come that the hardest if is the if of staying focused on him. Amen. And so what do? We keep pursuing relationship with him. We don't never define your relationship with the Lord by what's happening around you. You want me to blow you out of the water? Okay. Verse 13, he said, when I shut up the heavens, when I send pestilence, when I do these things, you seek my face. Things that come from what seems to be my hand won't always look like what you thought they should look like. But things you find in my presence and in relationship with me will always be what keeps you going. Things can come to you that if you don't stay focused on the relationship you have with him, will throw you off course and will cause you to miss the then moment that God has. Because you've got caught up in the things that are going on around you, and sometimes it'll even seem to be things coming from God's own hand. Let me try to break that down a little bit. Your relationship with the Lord is not based on the things he's giving to you. They are not based on his blessings or on the trials. Your relationship with the Lord is not based on what other people are receiving or not receiving. It is not based on all of the worldly things that you're accumulating. Your relationship with Him is based on the time you can spend in His presence. His presence. And you can spend time in His presence no matter what's going on around you. And there you'll find your strength. So when those times are coming, it's an if moment that just keeps piling on. Keeps coming. It seems like you're getting hit with a wave, another wave, another wave. Amen. Amen. And I've told y'all, I know I've told y'all, we went to Galveston several years back. And we were out in the, I was out in the water, and we were swimming around, and the Veronica and the kids were up close, and I swam on out a little ways, and I'm just floating out there. And I've got a little boogie board, actually, and I'm just floating on it, and I go farther out and farther out. And I said, well, I better go back in. I'm looking at them, and I'm seeing they're getting farther away, and I think, well, I probably better start heading back that way. And when I started to go back in, I realized I was not going in. I was still going out. I'm kicking, trying to swim, but I'm not going in. I'm still they're getting farther away. You ever felt like the stuff around you that the Lord just keeps getting farther away? So you know what I did? First of all, in my mind, I thought, okay, I know what to do if I don't panic. What to do is I'll start at an angle. I won't try to go straight in. I'll just start at an angle, and I'll start cutting it off that way until I can. And so I started going at an angle, but I'm watching them to see. Amen. I'm watching them to see if I'm getting closer to them or not, so I can navigate my way through this. And as I start going at an angle, I'm starting to get closer to them, even though I'm going this direction, until finally I reached the point that then I could just swim straight on in. Now, to make that dramatic story sound really good, if I'd have just stood up, I probably was in water about this deep. But you know, that's what panic does to you. Amen. But it sounds a whole lot better, you know, to talk about I'm way out there and there's probably sharks swirling all around me, and you know, it was dangerous stuff. But what I was able to do was able to stay focused on what I was seeing and not panic on what was happening around me. That's a word tonight. And that'll help you if you'll hear that. And it'll help all of us. Because that's relationship. Because that's the relationship with the Lord. Because then you're praying and you're seeking His face. Don't in those moments, don't seek His hand. I need this, I need this, I need this. Seek His face. He knows what you need. He'll provide the things you need. But he wants you in relationship with Him. So if my people will communicate directly with and rely upon the Lord. It's the power of prayer and trust. You know, Daniel had that in the lion's den. Three Hebrew children had that as they were going thrown into the fire. Isaiah had that when he stood before the throne in a vision from God and said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. But he kept his focus on the relationship. Daniel didn't focus on the lion around him. He focused on the relationship. The three Hebrews didn't focus on the fire being seven times hotter. They focused on the relationship. See, when it seemed like there was no way out, the relationship made the way out. Ooh, that's good. When there seems to be no way out, your relationship with the Lord will make a way out. Stay focused there. So that's the third if. The fourth if. Last if. And turn from their wicked ways. And turn. Back to the obedience part, but let's look at this a little bit different. If they will turn from their wicked ways. If they will discipline now their walk. If they will turn. It's the if of turning It's the if of allowing really the Spirit to lead us. The only way you're going to turn from your wicked ways, your fleshly ways, is to let the Spirit navigate you. Turn from your flesh way of doing things and let the Spirit navigate you. How many know if you're going to turn from wicked ways, you've got to walk in Spirit ways? Amen. And so if you're going to turn, the if of turning is the if of allowing the Spirit to lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, right? They are given to this kingdom. And so the ifs, here's what's going to happen. When is going to come? When things look negative, when things look bad. But if is going to determine whether you move from then to when, or whether you miss your when. Your when to then, I'm sorry, or whether you miss it. So the ifs are the if of faith. Know what God has said about you. The if of obedience. Humble yourself. The if of relationship. Pray and seek His face. And the if of turning. Turn from your wicked ways. Let the Spirit navigate your life. Lean on the Spirit's leading. Your flesh will deceive you. Flesh will cause you to give up. Flesh will cause you to stress. Flesh will cause you to grow weary. Flesh will lead you the wrong direction. Flesh will cause you to panic. But if you will turn from the flesh and let the Spirit navigate you, you'll make it to the then. And let's close this out. If my people will navigate the ifs, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their land, their sin, and heal their land. Now let me give you two more scriptures and then we'll stop. And now, verse 15. Go to verse 15 and look at this. If my people will, then, and then verse 15 starts off with, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Now. Okay, so when the negative comes, if you respond with the Lord, your then moment comes and it turns into a now time with God. Right now. You'll live in every moment now with confidence and favor. That's the now. The now moments with God are the moments that you recognize His eyes are open and His ears are attentive to prayer made in this place. That's the now moments with God. Anybody ever had any now moments with God? That all of a sudden you realize He's listening. He's here. He's got the answer. He's going to show me. That's the moment of favor. Let me say this about favor. Favor is not the absence of adversity. But favor is promised victory in life through faith that's settled in Christ. That's the now God wants you to live in. The favor of God. It's not the absence of adversity. Favor of God, blessed life, is not absence of adversity. It's knowing how to navigate adversity with faith that's settled in Christ that'll bring you to victory. A favored life is a life that will produce a spiritual harvest. And then finally, there will be forever results. He says in verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, and my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. When negative times come, if my people, then I'll give them a now moment, and I'll show up and show them I'm God and I'm well able. And it will produce forever results, for I'll never leave them nor forsake them. So to get to then, you got to get your eyes off of when, and you got to get your eyes onto if. And you got to let God lead you to the then moment, where now settled in Him, and the results will be forever. He says in His Word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know that's good even when it looks like He has? Do you know that scripture is still written in there even when it looks like He has left you? He said He wouldn't. And so you're standing on the in the ifs by faith, looking for the then that's going to turn to the now, that's going to produce the forever. So when negative comes, I'm looking through the ifs to the then that'll change my now and change me forever. Stand to your feet with me.